Real joy having you here tonight, and that's really wonderful singing. You're doing exceptionally well. Some I haven't seen in before. I'm glad to see you here tonight. Some probably come in just for the first time to the campus, and it's lovely having you, and I trust it'll bless you and grant you much joy for coming along. Brother, before we sing our chorus, let's just read our scripture, Deuteronomy 33 and verse number 29. Deuteronomy 33 and verse number 29. Someone said the other day, you know, you give us 6 messages in one. And I said, well, I am like a good housekeeper. Spread your table well. What may not be for you may be for somebody else. Just take what belongs to you and leave the rest. So, you know, and I was told I talk very fast. I don't know about that, do you? That's true. That's true. I ought to try and, being a Scotsman, try and save my breath a bit more. Don't you think so? That's right. I was saying the other day, last year I had seen 3 specialists for my throat. Not because I wanted, others thought I ought to do it, so I've done it, you see, to please them. And all 3 of them told me to shut up. In a word, they told me to put the brake on and just talk my only tone of voice. Don't yell and don't whisper. It takes far more out of your voice to whisper than it does even to yell. But just talk with an ordinary tone. The only way to get rid of the calluses on the vocal cords is to rest them away. To cut them off would be no use. Just rest them away, and so we'll try and do that, eh? Now, it's not easy resting them. My wife tells me I'm always talking. I never stop talking. And I said, my dear, don't you, you're talking, my talking, I get paid for my talking, you don't. Now, here it is, then. Verse number 29. Happy art thou, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the soul of thine excellency, and thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high place. Now let us have a chorus, shall we? It matters to him about you, it matters to him about you, all the day long, all the night through. He's caring for me and he's caring for you. His mercies are tender, his love is ever true. It matters to him about you. At hands those that don't know this course. Oh, I see 1 or 2. It's lovely having you here tonight. See, you just sing a thing once at Park of the Palm and they get it. Isn't that true? So let's have it. Thank you. All together.
It matters to him about you. It matters to him about you. He all the day long, he all the night through. He's caring for me and he's caring for you. His mercies are tender, his love's ever true. It matters to him about you.
That's exceptionally good. I know you can do better than that, so come on, sing it right now. If you make a mistake, don't worry about it. If you don't know it, just sing la la la. But please do something, will you? Everyone, right?
It matters to him about you. That's much better. It matters to me all day long, me all night through. He's caring for me and he's caring for you. His mercies are tender, his love never true. It matters to him about you.
Plenty of others, all rise and just sing it once more, eh? Rise and change the position. That's right, you're so comfortable there. There's lovely plush cushions, you know, and after a busy day up there on the shuffleboard in the garden, washing, ironing, darning too, sometimes making Irish stew. Don't know what you've done today, but you've been all so busy. And here they come in, the confines of the delightful little chapel. Nice warm atmosphere. And the speaker speaking so slow and so deliberate. So conducive to go off to sleep, isn't it, eh? So come on, you're singing now, right? All together.
It matters to me, that's wonderful. It matters to me,
by the way, would you like to have a real special treat? Would you? You really would? Well, my wife will come and sing it with me. Oh, now I'll never hear the end of this when night after meeting's over tonight. I never will. Now you listen to this.
It started. Did you hear that?
Thank you. Thank you.
It's matters to see about you. It matters to see about you. All the day long,
all the night through, he's caring for me and he's caring for you. It matters to him about you. You've got it now, haven't you? Thank you so much. You got it, haven't you? So, no, it's good. I'll tell you why I did that. Because, you know, the said in the Bahamas, wish that fellow stopped singing, let his wife sing. You see? So they got the words then. You see, they can't get them from me, they can get it from Agnes. So let us have it once more. Everybody knows it now, right?
It matters to him.
You can go this time, Mrs. Bell. It's all right. Right, these words then down, verse number 29. O people saved by the Lord. It's good to know when the Lord has saved us. We're looking at this morning by the word happy. Happy are those who are saved by the Lord. What must I do to be saved? What is the answer altogether? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. O people, saved by the Lord. I wonder if all this very fine group tonight are included in that O people, saved by the Lord. If you are not, I trust it will be the very night when you'll come into living vital union with the Lord Jesus Christ. We notice this people saved by the Lord in seven different pictures this morning, all in the one verse. We notice they are a happy people. And you look at that tonight. And they're a unique people. There's nobody like them. And they're a saved people. They're a shielded people. They're a defended people. They are a vindicated people, and they are a triumphant people. Then we broke the word happy up into its initial letters. H-A-P-P-Y. I know I am. I sure I am. I'm H-A-P-P-Y. Remember, what was the first one? The camel lakes, the yara. The happy man is a holy man. Then he is an assured man. Then he is a powerful man. And he is a peaceful man. And he is a yielded man. And without looking at your notes, that was absolutely wonderful. My, you must have wonderful memories, eh? So there it is. Yes, we are a happy people. Tonight we're going to take the word saved. And we're going to break it up in its initial letters. The capital S-A-V-E-D. Still spells saved. S-A-V-E-D. S-A-V-E-D. I know I am. I'm sure I am. I am S-A-V-E-D. Are you in that too? Amen? Amen. Oh, the joy. Oh, people saved by the Lord. And you'll find how it dovetails to one and the other. The happy man, the saved man. Five letters in each word. We're going to deal with the word saved now. Tomorrow morning, the word right in between, unique. We are a unique people. No people like us that would say, who is like unto thee? Oh, people saved by the Lord. May I let you into a little whisper? Don't tell anybody I said this, especially those that come to the evening meetings, but I enjoy the morning meetings far better. I love you all here tonight. I really do with all my heart. I mean that. And I love having you here. But there's a power and there's a grip about those morning meetings I've never yet experienced in the evening meetings. No, I wonder why. Is it because you're all so fresh, had a real good night's rest, and my friend, nice, brisk cup of coffee, and you come out here in a spirit of expectancy, and your minds are alert and absolutely wide awake? Is I wonder that's why. A dear brother in the swimming pool said to me this afternoon, said, Jim, if I go to sleep this evening, you won't mind. I know something. He's moved his seat from the front to the back. I won't tell you who he is, mind you. I won't tell you at all. But I it may be possible, you know. That's why he's gone to the back tonight. Maybe a little drowsy. That'll never do, will it?
Right, Elder. But tomorrow morning, we are a unique people. Old people saved by the Lord, who is like unto thee. Old people saved. I love that, don't you? Right, Elder. And the caveat is, the saved people, they are a sealed people. They are sealed. And it says in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 13, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise until the day of redemption. Grieve not the Spirit, says Ephesians 4, by which you have been sealed unto the day of redemption. The saved people are a sealed people. The seal reminds me of three things. One, ownership. It means you belong. I travel rather a lot. And sometimes put JKB on my shirt or in my handkerchief. Now, she does not let me do that too because they want people to know it belongs to me. That's one thing I know. That shirt, that handkerchief belonged to me before that seal was put on it. All these initials were put on it. Now listen, it's because we have been purchased by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus that we have been sealed until the day of redemption. The seal is not something after conversion, sometime after. You don't receive the Holy Spirit sometime after you're saved. Oh no. On believing on the Lord Jesus, you receive the Holy Spirit. When my all I ventured on Christ's atoning blood, the Holy Spirit entered, and I was born of God. Now notice, the seal is the Spirit in the believer. It is a mark of ownership. It's a seal that can never be broken. A seal that can never be erased. Once in Christ forever, thus the eternal covenant stands, and we are sealed unto the day of redemption. You remember way back yonder in the book of Exodus chapter 17, the rock had to be smitten, and from the smitten rock gushed out the thirst-quenching waters. What is the lesson? Calvary without Pentecost is incomplete. Pentecost without Calvary is meaningless. The rock had to be smitten before the waters could gush out. The Lord Jesus had to be smitten at Golgotha before we could know the joy of the coming of the Holy Spirit. In the Bible, when you read a word of static, stationary, it always refers to the Word of God. Water running, streams, rivers, springs, it always refers to the Holy Spirit. And because now the rock was smitten and the waters come gushing out, reminding us of Golgotha and then Pentecost. In the book of Leviticus, the high priest's ear had to be first anointed with the blood The sum of his great, the sum of his right hand were the blood. His great toe of the right foot were the blood. Then upon the blood came the oil. The oil on the blood and ear, the thumb of the right hand, and the great toe of the right foot. What is the lesson for us? There must be redemption by precious blood, cleansing by the blood, before I can know the coming and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. For if the springs, the water, the gushing water remind us of the Spirit, so does also the oil. The oil is a picture of the Holy Spirit, not on the ground of the shed blood. My friend, thank God for all who have got the anointed ear, whose ear has been opened, whose ear has been digged, and your ear is in tune with the Spirit tonight. Thank God for all whose hand has been anointed. And for service, thank God for anointed service, whether in Sunday school, Bible class, the announcing the glad tidings, teaching God's people, missionary work, whatever that ministry may be, a ministry in the Spirit must know the anointing and the empowering and the energizing of the Holy Spirit. Then a walk anointed by the Holy Spirit. Yes, my friend, when we know this, we shall walk in the Spirit and we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, that is just a brief outline. But may I just come again to this all-important point? We shall never know the joy of a full-orbed Christian life unless I'm conscious of this fact. There's been the cleansing of the precious blood in my own life and the indwelling. Dear one said to me only today after the service, one I got a great regard for, loved very much in the Lord Jesus, came up and said, "No, I was saved a long time before I knew the Holy Spirit indwelt me." Now please get that. And one afternoon has come up today and said, "I did not realize the importance of the Holy Spirit in my life until this morning." Now you may have heard a lot of ministry about the Holy Spirit, doctrinal teaching on the Holy Spirit, the personality and work of the Spirit. You've heard it, but it has not penetrated. And remember, Paul said, "Know ye not, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost who is in you." And friend, there are those that are really born again by the Spirit of God. They're really saved. All we know the fact of being saved. They don't know the joy of the indwelling Holy Spirit making real in them all the life of the risen Christ. And all the joy of that new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder, in this very fine assembly tonight, do each one of us here know this all-important, glorious truth? The Spirit of God indwells me. Because remember, if you know the cleansing virtue and the efficacy of the precious blood in your own life, then, my friend, the Spirit has come and He's not only indwelling you, He is sealing you. Now, I want to stress something here. It's not enough, my friend, to know the Holy Spirit indwelling. I must know Him in filling, controlling, and dominating each part of my life. We are saved. And we are sealed. And that seal can never be broken. Not only does it remind me of ownership, it reminds me of security. Of security. And oh, how secure is that one who is sealed with the Spirit. I repeat, that seal can never be erased. That seal can never be broken. Blessing is a mark of identification. Is a mark that you belong. And you got the seal, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, my friend, tonight. Because you belong, because you've been bought with a price, not silver nor gold, but the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. And tonight you cry, "Lord, I know I am not my own. I've been purchased with thine own blood. And Lord, in all sincerity I pray, Oh, Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee, for thou in thine atonement give thyself for me. I own no other master. My heart shall be thy throne. My life I give, henceforth to live, O Christ, for thee alone. Thank God, the saved man, the saved woman, boy or girl, they are sealed, and they belong. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price, the precious blood of me. Now let me ask you very lovingly, what are you now doing with that life that belongs to another? That belongs to another. I'm sorry. Not only are you saved and sealed, but you're saved and accepted. And accepted. I find people want to be accepted today. They want to belong. Well, the saved person both belongs and they are accepted. Isn't this wonderful? The Bible says we are accepted in the Beloved. Ephesians 1, verse number 6. I like that little phrase in Romans chapter 8, verse 31. God for us. Matthew 1, 23. God with us. Over something more precious. 1 John 4, 16. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Thank God tonight, not only is Christ indwelling us, but we are in Christ, and there's an indissoluble union. A union can never be severed. A union can never be broken. Thank God tonight, I repeat once, we're in Christ. We're in Christ forever. Thus the eternal covenant stands. Tonight at God's right hand is the Lord Jesus. In all his inflexible holiness, in all his intrinsic righteousness, in all the glory and the wonder of his own glorious person. Now listen, the very same acceptance and acceptability whereby God has accepted his beloved Son, so has accepted you and accepted me tonight. No stain, no spot, no blemish. There any such thing. And as Christ is before the Father, so are we right down here at Park of the Palms. The wondrous, glorious truth. Oh, is this real? Is it vital? When I recognize tonight that I am in Christ, that He is the very life of my life, I find my portion in Christ. He finds His portion in me. I find my inheritance in Christ. He finds an inheritance in me. I find my life in Christ. He finds his life in me. Oh, beloved, how closely and how intimately we're linked up with our adorable Lord Jesus. He's the very life of our life. He is love. Not only I am in his love, but my friend, the very love I love him with, he's first given to me. The wonder of this wonderful love. Yes, tonight we're accepted in the Beloved. Are you here? Are you in Christ? Are you still out of Christ? In Christ accepted, so near, so very near, more near I can't be than the person of God's dear Son I am, as near as He. So dear, more dear I cannot be. For the very love worthy love the Son, such is his love for me. Noah and his family were in the ark, safe and secure in the ark. All outside that ark perished. They might have been in, but they would not believe the testimony of Noah. Standing on the top of the highest mountain, climbing the highest tree upon the top of that mountain, looking out there upon the ark, the only means of salvation, all the Jews take one step from without within, from darkness into light, from death into life, from bondage into liberty, from judgment into acceptance. But they did not take that step. And I think I see them, and I think I hear them saying, why, we could have been in the ark. We might have been in. It's the only means of salvation. Now listen. All in that ark were safe and secure. It was pitch within and without the pitch. The floods of judgment could not penetrate that pitch. All outside the ark perished. Was it God's fault? Was it God's fault? By their own death and deliberate choice, they chose to stay outside and they perished. I looked round this intelligent congregation. I ask you lovingly, where are you? Are you out or are you in? I'm not asking whether you've been christened or confirmed or vaccinated or a church member or a communicant or a preacher or a deacon nor an elder. I ask you lovingly, are you in? And there's only one way. Christ said, I am the door. By me, if anyone enter in, he shall be saved. What does Romans 8, verse number 1 saying? There is therefore now no condemnation, no judgment to them that are in Christ Jesus, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin, in whom we have been accepted in the blood. Oh, aren't you glad you're saved? Amen. Aren't you glad you're a child of God? My friend, there you are, that you're sealed, and that seal can never be broken, and you're accepted, and as he is before the Father, so are you tonight, right down here. The wonder of it all. One more point. We are victorious. Not only are we saved and sealed, saved and accepted, but we're saved and victorious. Glorious. I like this, don't you? Oh dear. You know what I saw just now? Somebody just yawned. In fact, two yawns at once, that's terrible. Only halfway through the message to, eh? What is it going to be the time you get to the end? May I help you then? Here is victory. Thank God for it. Saved and victorious. 2 Corinthians 2, verse number 14. Thank ye unto God who on Sunday gives me the victory. Is that what it says? Thank ye unto God who always causes the triumph through Christ Jesus. Paul in Romans 7 said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The only way of deliverance, my friend, is through Jesus Christ. Paul 32 times used the personal pronoun I in Romans 7. I. He was an I specialist. He capital I in his capital I. At the end it says, oh, wretched man that I am. No wonder he was wretched. The man, the woman is always self-occupying and self-centered. They are wretched kind of people. And they're trying to make everybody else wretched with them too. But thank God when they're alive, their own wretchedness. And they say with Paul, who shall deliver me from this body of death? And they turn away from themselves and cry, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Beloved, the captive in Romans 7 becomes a conqueror in Romans 8. It says in Romans 8, 37, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Isn't this wonderful? And please, the only way out of Romans 7 into Romans 8 and to live there is Romans 6, 11. And what does Romans 6:11 say? Likewise, reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin. That's the negative side. But alive unto God through Jesus Christ, Lord, that's the positive side. To be taken up with a negative reckoning, you get melancholy and morbid. I've died for that. I've died for that. Take the positive side. Why am I alive under God? He's now my life. And when temptation crosses your pathway, as so often it does, you say, Lord, take over in the situation. Lord, look after your property. It's in danger. That's what it means. You're reckoning alive unto God. You're no longer your own. You belong to Him. I had a letter yesterday from a very fine young man, high school teacher, now in full-time service of the Lord. God is using very mightily in Pittsburgh. This young man, along with other young men, had been trying to come to Romans 12:1 and present their bodies a living sacrifice holy unto God. Holy unto God. And they tried with all sincerity and with all heart before the Lord. They came and they presented their body and they tried their hardest to consecrate. But after 2 or 3 days, it didn't fit. It didn't work. One day, going along there, not knowing about the situation, I yelled out, I'm not doing it tonight, these words. There's no good at coming to Romans 12:1 till you're into Romans 6. Because otherwise you're trying to consecrate flesh, consecrate your old man. You must come to Romans 6 and recognize your old man crucified with Christ. And my friend, you all of you are the child of Adam, finished the cross 2,000 years ago. And now it's one of the lies from the dead. You come and present your life to Him now. A living sacrifice. Alive unto God. Like an arrow. He went home to those young men. And they saw the truth. And they've been trying to consecrate the old man. But God said, I finished my old man. I put the old man upon the cross. And they reckoned upon that, and reckoned themselves alive unto God. And alive unto God, now they came to Romans, and what's happened? What's happened? Jermaine could tell you this. Since last May, we were there. This is years ago since this happened regarding Romans 12:1. Last year was in the month of May. 13 new gospel outreaches have started. 3 new assemblies have started, and over 600 people have been saved. Because young men were willing to do business with God. We were having 200 night after night coming along to a converted store. He opened the door, he came and it smelt. Those young people, my friend, were there. A hippie type. Long beard, long hair. Many of those people had been pushers. One young fellow got 5 bullet wounds in his leg from a policeman's revolver. But those young people were there to do business. There was a short word of prayer, no music, no singing. And I was on for 2 hours solid Bible teaching. There were notebooks and Bibles. And they were there, my friend, after midnight, leading others to Christ. Some were just saved themselves this particular. They're out in the street the next day trying to lead others to Christ. And I believe from Ernie Oski only yesterday saying, 13 new gospel outreaches have started. And he said, 3 new assemblies have started since last May. Because young people, and thank God the older ones are right with them. Mr. and Mrs. May came along, some others, and they were absolutely astounded at the reverence. And the attention those young people gave to the Word of God. This night after night we finish with these words. Have thine own way, Lord. Those young people broke down and sobbed. I went back there just a few weeks ago. Grandmothers, 5 grandmothers, parents, older brothers were led to Christ. Why? Because I preach? No. Because the transformation of those young lives. There's in the transformation of young sons and daughters. Friend, don't try and come to Romans 12:1 until you're in Romans 6:6. all the way, my friend, in Romans 7. And again, I'm quoting Dr. Northcote dead. The only way to Romans 7 and Romans 8 is Romans 6. And there's number 11. Likewise, reckon yourself to be dead, indeed unto sin, but alive unto God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, the wonder of the glorious truth. No wonder I sing from my heart, reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, crucified with Christ, he now may reign within, raised together with the Lord, filled with life anew. Thus the Spirit doth afford victory for you. How may I know victory, so many cry? Commit thyself to Calvary, consent to die. God's way of gain is seeming loss. We die to live. And his life comes as to the cross. My life I gave, all in the measure which I am reckoning my old life crucified with Christ moment by moment, day by day. Mine would know Christ in all his fullness living in me. It happened in the land of Georgia some years ago. The first football game, huge football match I've ever seen in my life. I was taken there by one of the young profs from the Georgia Tech, my led to Christ some years before. And being on the faculty at a wonderful vantage point, Georgia Tech were playing Auburn University in a cup tie. I had never seen the American football before, and I didn't understand one thing they were doing. I couldn't understand those men putting 55's worth of padding on, a crash helmet, and a face guard to go and play a game. I couldn't understand that at all. And I saw those 22 full-blooded men fighting for that little pumpkin. I couldn't understand that either. And when they got under this little huddle, I thought they were having a prayer meeting for the next move. I didn't know what they were doing. When the crowd stood, I stood. When they yelled, I yelled. I didn't know what I was standing up for. I didn't know what I was yelling about. Went on like that. By the third quarter, I was getting well into it. And by the fourth quarter, I was well into it. And when I stood, I knew what I was standing up for. When I yelled, I knew what I was yelling about. And Georgia won 44-7. It was a glorious victory for Georgia. On the way home, my good friend stopped at a stop sign. Always a good thing to do that. I got fined $25 for not doing it one day. Anyway, the point is this. A man was standing on the side of the street and said, "I say, Butch, who won?" My friend was not only a prophet at college, he was also a champion wrestler for the Southern College. His name was Butch. His right name was Hosea. And so, he said, "Say, Butch, who won?" Said, "We won, 44-7. I pulled his coat tail and said, "Butch, you told that man a lie." He said, "I never did. We won 44-7. "So you never did. You never played in that game. You know right telling that man we won if you didn't play." "But don't you understand, Jim, that team was chosen to represent this college, and because the team and the whole college shared the victory." "Jim, whole of Georgia shared the victory. It's a wonderful day in Georgia." "I know that, all right, but you know right telling that man we won if you didn't play. You told him a lie." She goes all back over again. "So don't you understand that team was chosen to represent the whole college, and because that team won, the whole college shares the victory. They're only chosen to represent the college. And because I'm identified with the college, I share the victory." So I said, "I don't care, you told that man a lie." She said, "Haven't you any grey matter at all?" I said, "Not very much." So you've got to go back and say, "Don't worry, Butch, I understand perfectly what you're saying. But listen, friend, for the last 3 weeks, I've been trying to get into your skull that when Christ died upon that cross, you died. His death is your death. And just as you did not literally play in that game, yet you shared the victory, you did not literally die upon the cross. The devil did not go through your hands nor feet. You died in the person of your representative. And his victory is your victory, Butch." "Oh," I said, "Jim, how stupid I've been." I said, "Yes, I thought that for 3 weeks. Beloved, but have you seen that truth? That when Christ died, not only died to bear away your sin, when he died, you died. His death is your death. You died in that person, your representative. And now his victory is now your victory.
thanks be unto who given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are victorious because we are saved people.
May I say this very lovingly, yet with all sincerity, a defeated Christian is a contradiction in terms. There's no need for any man or woman named the name of Christ to live a defeated life. You can know victory every moment of every day. Moment by moment I am kept in his love. Moment by moment I fly from above. Moment by moment the glory doth shine. Moment by moment, O Lord, I am thine. A man named John Watt, back in Scotland. 1914-18 war was called up to military service. He was married. Three lovely children. He had a friend, a bachelor. No responsibility. He had a job exempted from all military service. He was in an A1 condition physically, mentally, very much alert. He went to his friend and said, John, I am going in your place. I am going to fight in your place. You're my friend. You must let me go. No, objected John Watt. Oh, yes, I'll go and fight in your name. I'll fight with your number. But, John, you've got three children and a wife. I've got no one. Let me go. He went. And everything went wonderfully well until the last clash. And he was killed in that last clash. The last war broke out. John Watt got word from the war office to report. Three letters he got, he ignored them all. Then they sent a recruiting sergeant, saying, why am you reported? Says, you no claim upon me? Aren't you John Watt? Yes, I'm John Watt. Well, you're a taxpayer. Yes, I'm a taxpayer. He says, but well, why didn't you report? Say, go back and look up your war record and you'll find I died in the last war. Pardon? So you go back and look up you'll find I died in the last war. And they went back, and true enough, John Watt, on a certain day, in a certain battle, died. And John Watt did not literally die. He died in a personal substitute. But John Watt reckoned upon that fact. And when those letters came, he ignored the letters and no claim upon him. Told the recruiting sergeant, you no claim upon me, I die. Friend, the old devil, your old master, your old wife will send you letters. You've got to ignore them. You've died in the person of your representative. His death is your death. His victory is now your victory. Very fine. A girl came to me at Bible school some time ago. Young high school teacher. This is well. And said, Uncle Jim, that's just a figure of speech. I'm trying so hard to crucify myself. Ernie Woodhouse was there too. And said, I'm trying so hard to crucify myself. And I said, my dear, you're trying to do the impossible. I said, why? Now, if perchance you're able to get the nail through your feet, a nail through this hand, who's going to put the nail through this hand? I said, I never thought of that. I said, well, I don't feel dead. I said, well, do dead people feel? Oh, I said, how stupid I am. How stupid. I know what happened. I said, my dear, you're 2,000 years too late. You're already crucified. When Christ died, you died. His death is your death. And now he was the rest of the Son of their life unto God. Through Jesus Christ. That girl went away rejoicing, saw the truth. It was revealed to her. Why I'm alive unto God through Jesus Christ. His death is my death. Not my struggling and striving, trying to crucify. I'm already dead. This is rather a humorous point. I don't really mean it to be humorous. I want to get a point across here. But the Irishman walking down the street, of course, back in Ireland, only an Irishman would do this. A poor old tortoise, and said its head severed from its body, run over by a car. Pat says that thing's dead, its head's off. Mike says it's not dead, its legs are still moving. So I tell you it's dead because its head is off. He says, not dead at all, because its legs are moving. Can't be dead, its legs are moving. I tell you it's dead because its head's off. So, of course, Murphy goes along. Murphy, come over here. Look, Mike says this thing's dead because its head's off. I say it's alive because its legs are moving. What do you say, Murphy? Huh. Sure, me dad, you're both right. The poor thing's dead but doesn't know it. And a lot of Christians are just like that. They're dead but they don't know it. They've never realized all the important truth. Never here's victory. Thank God, my friend, tonight. We are victorious, but it's through Christ, our wonderful Lord. Saved and victor. E, saved, and I love expectant. The saved man is expectant. I got to stop soon. You know why? My wife just looked at her watch. Right, expecting. Of course, for expecting meeting to finish. Well, we're expecting, Lord, aren't we? That's right. Remember, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of a great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're looking for His coming. And when you're saved, and know the joy of your salvation, and you're living a full-on Christian life, you know the joy of being saved and sealed, saved and accepted, saved and victorious, and now you're saved and expectant. Why, you're standing on the tip of expectancy. You're expecting your Lord to return at any moment. Why? For the saints, another that look for Him, shall He appear the second time? Apart from the same question, under salvation, won't that just be wonderful? So your heart and my heart stay thanks. Very good, Lord. Even so come, Lord Jesus, even so come today, even so come, Lord Jesus, catch up thy bride away. Oh, how my heart is yearning, longing for thy returning. Even so come, Lord Jesus, even so come today. Have you got it, dear children of God? Is it real? Is it vital to you? Are you expecting your Lord anymore? If you're saved, know the joy of yourself. You're expecting, and you're praying for His coming. May I whisper something to you? Tonight, there's a man in the glory, but he's a lonely man. He's lonely. He's waiting for His bride. He's longing for His bride. Are you praying to the bridegroom, even so come, Lord Jesus? Even so come, is your heart longing? Is your heart yearning to be with Him? I was preaching down at him on the Gaspé Peninsula, a place called Grand Cascopedia. Now, going along the line, I'm now regarding expecting Christ any moment. I use illustration of a young couple, very, very happily engaged to be married, head over heels in love with each other. I said one day, darling, I ain't going to Australia. I'm going to try and make good, and I'll come back to you as soon as I possibly can. She wasn't very happy about that, but she knew her future depended upon it, so off he goes. Because letters come from England, letters from Australia. Every letter just little heartbeats of love. All those wonderful little letters. How to look for them, day by day. He gets to Australia, he gets a job, and then with the money he takes with him from Britain, he gets a lot, and then he begins to build. And he builds and builds. The roof's on, all the furnishings now, all the drinks, all the color scheme, everything all in view of the coming of the bride. Oh, waiting that day when she would come to share it with him. One day she gets a cable. I'm on the way. I'll arrive in Southampton, a certain boat, a certain day. Now, where she's concerned now, everything takes a color in view of that great day when he's going to arrive. Cutting my long story short, she's down the harbor. The green line has steamed in during the night. Hundreds upon hundreds of people are there. Hundreds upon hundreds are upon the boat. Some looking over, looking for the loved ones. Some looking up. Where are they? But there are two young people oblivious to everyone else around them. Young fellow, where is she? Young man, where can he be? Where is he? Then last, John, I see you. John, I'm here. John, oh, I see you, Mary. I see you. So glad to see you, Mary. I going that crowd were coming with me. She said, what do you think? What do you think when their eyes met? A voice from the congregation, he jumped overboard. He jumped overboard. I thought they meant he tried committed suicide. It wasn't that at all. He was just so glad to see her. Didn't wait for the gangway to be put down. He just made one leap just to be down beside her. That's what they thought, you see. Because he didn't do it. The gangway is put down. He comes down the gangway. His through cousin heads away through the crowd. She heads away through the crowd from her side. And they meet. They embrace. They hug each other. Oh, how happy they are. Oh, she's saying, what? He's kept his promise. He's gone back for me. I'm just so happy. Oh, I'm so glad I didn't flirt around with other boys while he was away. I'm so glad I kept true and loyal to him all the time he was away. Oh, I'm just so happy. Now listen.
our beloved has gone to prepare the place. The cable has gone out. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. And you know something? It may be tonight. Your eyes as my eyes will behold those lovely eyes of his. What is it going to be to look in those eyes? Delight or despair? May I ask you lovingly as I bring my message to close? Are you flirting around with the world? The ways of the world? The pleasures? The politics? The religions? Or is your heart so weaned away tonight you look up and say, Lord, thou art enough the mind and heart to fill? Fix my eyes so wholly, Lord, on thee that with thy beauty occupied, I elsewhere none may see. Lastly, the saved person is delivered. He's and with a threefold, like you've got a threefold salvation, you've got a threefold deliverance. 2 Corinthians 1, verse number 10. He hath delivered, he doth deliver, and even yet will deliver. He delivers from sin's penalty, he is delivering from sin's power, and it may be tonight he will deliver from sin's presence. Wouldn't that just be wonderful? Now may I go back over them with you? I trust your heart's been warmed toward him tonight. I trust you see, you see what it means to be saved. This is very fragmentary, very elementary. How I wish we got time to develop this. But I leave it with you for your own private devotion and meditation. You're saved and sealed. You're saved and accepted. You're saved and victorious. You're saved and you are expectant. You're saved and you're delivered. Aren't you glad you're saved? Amen? Aren't you glad you're in Christ? Now take the two words. You're holy and sealed. You're assured and accepted. You're powerful because you're victorious. You're peaceful because you're expectant. And remember this evening, you're yielded because you've been delivered. God bless you. Hymn number 153. 153. Grand old hymn, 153. Saved, saved, saved. My sins are all forgiven. Christ is mine, and I'm on my way to heaven. Once a guilty sinner, lost and done, now a child of God, and I like this word, saved through his Son. Hymn number 153. Remember what you've been listening to and sing it from your heart, real certainty, real grip. I'm saved. 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 Amen? Come on, all together. Saved, saved, saved. By faith and all forgive. The Christ is mine. I'm on my way. I know you're in the good of this, aren't you? Amen? Come on, say it, right? Let's say. Amen.
what could think I? And they shouted, Hallelujah. Not unto us, but as thy name, honor and glory and power and dominion, both now and forevermore, through Jesus Christ, our wonderful Lord. Amen.